Welcome to Football is Nice, where we talk about matters regarding primarily the Premier League in the United Kingdom, but also football as a global phenomena. Its moral connotations, its mythic connotations, and just stuff we've seen that we're well into. Let's start off by congratulating the Lionesses who have beaten the Matildas in the World Cup. It seems that England's football team in the women's world are pretty bloody good, actually. Yeah. They consistently keep winning football matches, don't they?
And tournaments.
Is the manager a man or a woman?
Woman.
Nothing left for men to cling to. Nothing. They're doing that. Womankind have advanced.
Well, especially because she took over from Phil Neville.
Who was a man.
Much superior job.
And then Phil Neville, he went to the MLS to work for Inter Miami.
Then got sacked.
Yep. And then he sort of like, and you could tell he was going to get sacked because he was all agitated before they sacked him. So sincere congratulations to the Lionesses for beating the Matildas on their home turf. Never good for the home nation to go out in a semi-final.
That's
the worst time to go out. That's what happened to us, the men's team in Euro 96. Yep. And when it happens, it's like, oh, they're so close to the final.
Gaza!
What were you drinking?
I still see that in my dreams or nightmares.
Another 10 inches and he would have nudged it in and there we would have been.
Yep.
But the England team now, circa 2023, have gotten to the final. Congratulations, where they will face Spain and hopefully triumph. I certainly feel more confident about women's football than I do men's football. And there's been a lot of movement, a lot of fluctuation, and actually, I'm quite angry about several things. Would you like to just hear some of the things I'm angry about in the football world this
week? Already angry. Week one.
I'm angry that Harry Kane went to Bayern Munich.
Are you?
I'm angry because it feels like, I feel angry for him.
Okay.
Because he's already gone there. He's already lost the game.
Yeah.
I read somewhere that he might Spurs up Bayern Munich. Like Bayern Munich might be sort of ruined by him.
Oh no, it's like a curse.
Like the Harry Kane curse. I think Harry Kane is a sort of a gentleman and a sort of a model athlete in so many ways. Like, seems like a really decent, lovely man. And I kind of wanted him to go somewhere. I suppose what I'm thinking, do you know what it is? This is probably, as often is the case when I sort of scrutinise my perspective, it's my own prejudices and biases. Like, what it is I think Bayern Munich, in spite of their obvious success, you see the five stars above their badge representing five victories. Probably, who's had more than that? Liverpool and Real Madrid probably only. Sure. What it is I don't think Bayern Munich's glamorous enough.
Right.
And I think
it's the glamour.
In Germany, they come to us.
I see.
They come to us, is how I see it. What, no offence, Germany.
Bellingham went to them though, didn't he?
But then he come back to us.
Then he come
he went to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
He went to them. Yeah, that's actually, I'm annoyed about that as well.
I wanted him to go there. I've said that before.
Did you?
But I think
it is. Bayern or Rail?
To Rail.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I think because of the glamour, I think it is that actually. I've tried to come up with other reasons, but I think
it's glamour.
It probably is the glamour.
Do you know what it is? It's because he's hot. Like, why go Germany? It's just England without the music.
Right.
And without the comedy.
Reductive attitude.
It's racist, really. Xenophobic, at least. Like, that's what I think, though. Don't go somewhere else cold. Mm. Go somewhere warm. Go Italy. Oh, sports car, Vespa, sexy, pasta. Yeah, Italy.
Yeah, but it will come down to wages, ultimately, won't it?
Go Spain. Whoa! Da-da-da-da! Yeah. Flamenco. Intensity. Sort of coal-eyed flamenco dancers.
You're just going to do all your cliches at this point.
A woman screaming at you in a square.
Oh, she's attractive, is she?
She's lovely. It
was, of course she is.
Elia Alvarez-Diaz. That relationship broke down, sadly. It was in El Escorial, Franco's resting place. Franco, who, let's face it, was a bit of a dictator.
Right.
And he left as his final monument a big, very, very tall crucifix. It was not very, very long on the vertical, narrow on the horizontal. Like a sort of a weird, like, you know, when a shoot comes through, like a seed, like a baby plant. Like that, but a crucifix version of that. But
this
anyway,
is some amazing Harry Kane analysis, isn't it?
This is getting
won't
to the,
get this anywhere
let's
else.
Get to the root of why he went. It's because of Franco's Franco's cenotaph. There's an odd Harry Kane song. Let's have a listen to that if you're listening to this as a podcast, which you can do, and it's bloody good as a podcast, by the way. And let's look at it with our eyes if we have access to the visual medium. Let's look at it.
Harry Kane signs for Bayern Munich. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Harry Kane, yeah. Harry Kane. Who's in last place to score? It's Harry Kane. For Xavier King.
Who have they paid to do this?
I've no idea.
Does it come from the people that do Affleck came in? I mean, the animation looks like that. It's very interesting, and it's a weird voice.
Harry Kane, yeah.
I don't think Harry Kane would be pleased about that.
No.
Like, that's going to offend him.
Well, yeah.
On arrival.
Right, maybe. Is it intended to? What is
also,
the intention?
What genre is this? Like, rock? Euro rock? I was speaking to a German person just earlier today.
Okay.
And apparently they're using my song. That's right, Gareth. My song, Stroke the Furry Wall, out of one of them films where I done.
Oh, yeah.
Get Me to the Creek. They doing that as their wedding song. And while they were sort of showing all of their various friends singing bits from Stroke the Furry Wall, a vision befell me, and it was a powerful one. It was me as a Hasselhoff style star in Germany, because Hasselhoff, Hasselhoff uniquely in Germany was like, he's their Elvis.
Yeah.
Like, if you ask a German, who's the king of rock and roll, they'll tell you Hasselhoff.
Wait, wasn't that to do with the Berlin Wall? Wasn't it something to do with the Berlin Wall?
Well, Gareth, you're half right.
Right.
The fall of the Berlin Wall was inaugurated by Knight Rider.
Yes.
Knight Rider, he helped get that down.
Yeah.
Eastern Germany should be unified, Michael. There's no reason for this anymore. Unified Germany. Get rid of the Stasi. That red thing. Did you have a Knight Rider?
I always wanted a Knight Rider.
I had a black Trans Am. It wasn't Knight Rider, but I was able to...
Oh, no, it's the worst.
What's wrong with that?
You pretended you had Knight Rider, didn't you?
Yeah.
You're one of those children who had to pretend.
I'm always pretending. You know I made Chewbacca into Teen Wolf. What I've done with that black Trans Am is I put, like, you know, like cassette tapes, they had stickers on them so you could write what the name was. Well, BASF cassettes, they had a red sticker, so I simply fashioned that into the red bit at the front of Knight Rider.
This is why you're like you are, because of those moments as a child.
You think that's who I still am deep down?
That's amazing.
With all of the grandiosity and all the declarations of revolution. Just a little boy playing Knight Rider alone.
When you'd done that, did you think to yourself, and there it is, actual Knight Rider? Or did you just think to yourself, that's not good enough?
Look, yeah, no, it's the latter. I tried to commit to Knight Rider.
Yeah.
Okay, so Harry Kane's gone there. He's had a rubbish song sung to him, but could I become the next Hasselhoff? Could I become a German Elvis? Is it possible to be a German Elvis? And is Harry Kane's... does he, in his heart... I reckon Harry Kane feels exactly how I felt when I put that bare cassette sticker on the front of an off-brand Trans Am.
Right.
This was not what I wanted. I've had to do this because I weren't allowed to go to either Man U, Man City... Yeah. Or Real Madrid because of bloody Daniel Levy. Mm. And I'll tell you a thing, like, you know how we all know Daniel Levy's a good negotiator because of the world tells us that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you another thing I know that's a bit like that. Jordan Henderson is really good at the bleep test. You know the bleep test where they have to run back and forwards? Beep, beep. Oh, Jordan Henderson.
He's ever so good.
He's the best at that. Him and James Milner, they're always ahead of the others. Like, what do I know about the bleep test for? I don't want to know about the intricacies of training and their private stuff that they do.
Because now football clubs release stuff for social media, don't they? So you're always seeing behind the scenes and the hilarity that goes on with
imagine if that was going on in the days of, like, footballers like Paul Gascoigne and the teams of the 80s. Because what they'd have found out is that they were, like, tossing themselves off in the dressing room and making people eat biscuits loaded up with man effluvia. I mean, it was like it was a very, very different sort of more jocular, you might say, and certainly less reconstructed time. Okay, so Harry Kane, deep down, is he disappointed? Will he win the Bundesliga? He better. If he don't, that's a crusher. That's like when Teddy went to Man United and he won F all, but then he did actually win everything the subsequent season. But for 1 year, it was that.
Yeah.
So it could be a real blunder. Let's have a look at those other transfers up there, and I'll tell you the next thing I'm angry about. I'm angry. What? Oh, is that lad Casado going from Brighton? Casado's gone to Brighton. Yeah, for more than Declan.
He's gone to Chelsea, yeah. So there was a bidding war between Liverpool and Chelsea.
And the bidding war pushed him up.
Yeah, Liverpool bid at one point 110 or 11 million, which is unbelievable because I think Klopp said earlier in the season that 100 million for a player when they
should have got Declan.
Right, but anyway, Chelsea have got him for 115.
They're getting that Romeo Lavia.
They're getting Lavia from Southampton. The money Chelsea are spending is... incredible.
I'm angry about Paqueta.
Yeah.
Like, if they take Paqueta, because Kevin De Bruyne got that bloody injury that's right. Taken him out for the season, so they just go and take Paqueta.
He's out for 4 months, I think, De Bruyne, yeah.
Didn't use one of your other brilliant players.
I know, mate. I'm sorry, but he wants to
Calvin
go.
Calvin Phillips, 70 million for Lucas Paqueta. We should, like, I don't, he's the break clause is 85 million.
Yeah, they won't sell him for that, will they? But
I don't want to sell him at all. It's like, what's the point? Do you feel good about having the 105 million? Is James Ward-Prowse going to be enough for West Ham?
Tricky. I feel for teams like West Ham. I mean, obviously, as a Hull City fan, I know what happens here, but I guess Hull always exist kind of in that realm of having to, you just know as soon as Jared Bowen plays well, you know he's going. West Ham, you feel, especially winning a European trophy, you'd have a few seasons with your best players, but it just seems like now the money that is at stake here, the money that Chelsea can spend, and therefore the way in which it hikes up what Man City are going to spend, or, you know, these clubs with massive finances, it's just impossible to turn that money down. West Ham just can't turn 80, 90 million pounds down.
When I was feeling the sort of sadness and sorrow of Paqueta's probable departure, and actual anger, I felt anger, and I thought, you're just the same, but on another level. You are taking players from Hull or Reading or whatever, Southampton in this instance. So it's not
I know what you mean, feeling. But I think there's, you know, when Bowen went to West Ham, I was like pleased for him, as in we weren't going up. It was going to be a long time before we were. And you can't deny someone who had such an, he was astounding at Hull for a couple of seasons. And I think someone with that much talent should be playing in the Premier League. He deserves to be. And so when he went to West Ham, they, you know, you paid a decent fee for him. I thought that's the natural next step. I think when you're in a situation now where you've got teams like West Ham winning European trophies and still their best players can be poached,
you don't mind losing a lover if you get a better lover after. Like, right. Say if you get chucked,
yes.
Isn't it good to think that your next sexual partner
is
like a real upgrade? You think, well, that's okay. I've had the bruising of a chucking. But if after that you're forever in relationships that don't seem quite as good, that's no good. Because what I feel like is, like, we've lost Declan Rice, and what we're being offered in return, like, the transfer policy has been doubtlessly stymied by Moyes' inability to form a good complicity with this technical director who he evidently don't get on with, and it's slowed everything down.
Right.
So what, and I think the underlying sentiment of this podcast is, at what point, we've discussed it so much, does the evident financial momentum of this game capsize the romance and the sentiment? Like, you know, and then you have to investigate what your feelings are, because Neymar going to Saudi Arabia seems mental. And like, I was reading like a Steven Gerrard doing a report on like how it's like they're not ready for the humidity, these lads and stuff, but they're playing football in bloody Saudi Arabia. I mean, what the hell are they expecting? And they're like Mane's gone out there and Neymar's gone there, and like, you can easily make the arguments that were made during the Qatar World Cup of like, well, why is that country not allowed to have its own thing go down? You know, why are they not allowed their moment? Why not?
I agree, and I think there are all sorts of arguments with the situation in Saudi Arabia as to, you know, as we've said before, what's so different from when the Premier League was being founded in this country. It just, there does seem, I'm concerned about what's going on with the fees that are going on in this country at the moment. The Chelsea model is becoming ridiculous, and what it's doing to push up the value of players and therefore make it inevitable that those players leave clubs like West Ham. I think it's dangerous.
Do you know what there might be? Is it might become so sort of hysterical and grotesque that it actually sort of, other than the absolute upper echelon, sort of cancels itself out. I.e., if you inflate value artificially, in the end, the value will not have a rational connection to quality. It won't be qualitative anymore. That's why you've got Brentford, Brighton, like teams that are like, hang on a minute, we can't go that way, but we can go this way. You know, if they can get Caicedo for, like, I think, 5 million quid.
£4.5 million or something.
And then sell him on for 100. It's like, well, you've got to run with that model. You've got to run with that model. And therefore, you could, by that rationale, get 10 of those players for 5 million quid and have a team full of 100 million pound players. So in the end, it breaks down. Have a look at like Neymar's deal, Gal. He could potentially break Saudi Arabia because he's going to get €500,000 for every social media post he makes saying Saudi Arabia is good. Oh. He could, I hope they've put a cap on that, because otherwise he could just go, ain't Saudi Arabia nice? I'll tell you what I like, Saudi Arabia. Come to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And you could, until in the end, they can't pump enough out the ground to keep Neymar going.
Get ChatGPT on that.
Get ChatGPT. Nice things about Saudi Arabia.
Bosh.
Off you go.
There you go.
They'll be coming to us cap in hand, the Saudi Arabians, won't they? In a matter of days. Yeah. Ruined by Neymar. Is Neymar the epitome of the modern day footballer as mercenary, a man who has to some degree somehow squandered his talent through commerce in the same way that it could be said that former incarnations of great players squandered their talent through alcoholism in the case of George Best, or through sort of mental health challenges like Gaza.
It's a difficult one with Neymar, isn't it? Because I think you're right, we view him in a certain way. He doesn't
seem dive in
as likable, does he? The diving is obviously plays a big part of it.
Haircuts are, you know,
but in a sense, we shouldn't really care about the haircuts.
Do what you want with your haircut.
Yeah, he just doesn't seem necessarily all that likable. And it feels like, I guess, the move to PSG felt like all about the money. The move now feels like all about the money. But I don't know.
Do you know what'll happen? I bet there are extraterrestrials and they'll buy Neymar. The extraterrestrials have bought Neymar. They've given him a planet. And if he makes favourable social media posts about sort of alien probes up the bum,
he'll
get paid
very well.
A clause in that, I don't know why I said that, I just was thinking about the bump. A clause in Neymar's contract allow him to go to his sister's birthday party every year. I don't want to go. It's just like, in the end, that negotiation's gone so well that they've just started asking for stuff.
Anything now.
You also have to renounce Allah and you have to become a secular country. Okay, Neymar. Like Neymar's pushing it. Don't go your sister's birthday.
Right. Oh, no. What?
No.
Do you think that's the lesson from this, do you? I think of all the things...
How much are you earning a week? 3 million euros a week?
Right. Don't go to your sister's birthday.
You can't go.
Right.
Sorry, I'm missing your birthday. Why, Neymar? Why? 3 million euros. Plus, right. Me and ChatGPT are saying such nice things about Saudi Arabia. We ain't got time.
Yeah. I mean, I'll come during the week, surely.
See you another day.
Yeah.
You don't even know that was your birthday. You've only got mum and dad's word for it. And let's face it, mum and dad even strapped me up with Junior... Says I can't forget Dad for a single second a day, who's also my agent, probably, is he?
Probably.
Of course he is.
Yeah,
Neymar,
I think he actually
senior.
Is, yeah.
Like, that's what coincidence.
Why are you getting so much into Neymar's family?
I'm angry. Like, what it is like Neymar, the Neymar family, it's a remarkable coincidence. My son's really good at football, and I'm remarkably good at football agenting. We're the perfect combination.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting, those relationships.
Mind you, who am I to judge Neymar? I'm no one to judge Neymar. And actually, I bet he's all right. I don't care. I'm just saying a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely fine.
Well, I don't know. I'm not attacking Neymar deep down. No. He ain't got time to watch this.
But it's interesting that, like, you know, there was a time where Neymar, obviously that massive move from Barcelona to PSG, and it was all, there were like a couple of players in the world who were valued at that kind of level, Mbappe and that. And now it feels like there are hundreds of players that have the same kind of value. I think Neymar went for 77, I know he's 31, but he went for 77 million. Now you've got Casado going for 115. It's, you know, it doesn't feels like the categories are changing. I don't know.
These lads are barely showing up in the Prem. Like 45 appearances for Casado and Lavia. Who often gets called Labia in subtitles.
Is that right?
When I watch stuff about transfers on YouTube, and I sort of think, huh.
Yeah, I guess he got relegated with Southampton, but then I always think of the example with, for example, Andy Robertson, when he got relegated with Hull, and then he went to Liverpool and was amazing, you could say, you know, the best left-back ever, potentially.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. There's some other things I want to talk about, and they are this.
Yep.
Roy Hodgson, friend of the show, former England manager and presumed man-nan, is actually once again proving himself to be a Bricktop Tony style gangster.
Yes.
This time, it's more than like in that post-match interview, listen, son, don't try to pull my plunker. If I'm trying to pull my pants down, I've got plenty in reserve. Instead of that now, he's actually showed his true colours and what vivid, beautiful, bright, vibrant colours they are. They're the colours of blood and fist.
Yes.
Roy Hodgson, someone barged into him off the byline, and his natural response was so like a Chaz and Dave lyric. It was so sort of Gertcha.
Yeah.
So go on, get out of it. Like, so easily morphed his face into the like a pit bull snarl.
Yeah. It's like he recognised a little jab to the midriff, wasn't it, from the opposition player, and he went straight into it.
It was natural.
Yeah, it was natural.
Lovely to Roy. I love that. Let's have a look at Roy Hodgson now.
Suffer fools, Roy Hodgson.
I like that. Yeah. I like the way he sort of pulls the hand down, knocks the ball out of his hand, mouths the C word,
yep,
hits back, and steps forward like my like Mick the Ferret, my friend yeah. Mick the Ferret.
Yeah.
Trucker Bernie said, never took a backward step, Mick. Hard man, Mick. Never took a backward step. Same could be said of Roy Hodgson. He don't take a back. He don't go backwards. He go forwards.
Do you think that there's, I don't know, subconsciously somewhere in Roy Hodgson's mind, it's like that people maybe are making fun of his age, and so he's always kind of ready to like prove that he's still got it at the age of 70 odd.
He's the Biden of the Premier League.
Right.
He's almost like he could overreact. Like how yeah. you sort of think one day Biden might sort of actually get his willy out to show that he's still virile.
What,
like
is Roy, it, what state's it in?
I'd say it's like look like seaweed.
Okay.
Like sort of like I say like a raggedy thing, or like you know when you're sort of a party popper.
Yeah.
It'd be look like that, like right. out of what comes out of a party popper, like a squid's legs.
Yeah.
I reckon it's no longer a singular entity. Okay. Joe Biden's penis. I reckon it's sort of like a you know sort of underneath a door a draft like not a draft excluder like that like a brush like a like it's like a doormat.
Mm.
I reckon it's mostly bristles.
Right, and you think that'll he'll get that out, do you?
You might be right. It's going to embarrass him to do that. Yep. But he's there's not beyond, beneath him to grandstand, is it? You know, and like to be... And also, Roy Hodgson's considerably younger, and I'd say more capable than Joe Biden. I'd rather have Roy Hodgson...
As president?
As president.
Wow, what a move that would be.
Yeah, I think, oh, no, listen, start bloody well using those weapons responsibly, or we're not going to send you another single weapon.
Is it too late to nominate him, do you think?
I don't think so, Gareth. I think now's the time.
I think it is.
There could be some obstacles. He's got to get citizenship, but why don't we back that?
Yeah.
Why don't we back this? Well, we're
going
to have
to... dedicate all that we do to that.
Make Roy Hodgson president of the United States of America, even though he's shown no sign of wanting it, and be embarrassed by the idea. We're almost certain of that fact. Also, on-screen aggression took place between Pep Guardiola,
yes,
that gorgeous beige tic-tac of testosterone and charisma, standing next side that great purloin, that dirty, great, sexy sirloin steak of Viking sex energy that is Haaland. Now, as you know, I'm avowedly and at least publicly not a homosexual. Yet with Erling Haaland, everything about him, all of the odd aspects of him, like the shaved up sides of his head, the long sort of the blonde hair, he's particularly erotic.
Right.
There's not often, like, would you like to crunch down on that? Like, get one, get him into a ponytail, but you're using your own hand as the ponytail maker. Get the upper end of it, and then crunch down and feel what it feels like to crunch down. Right. I'm not saying only with his consent.
Sure. And then, I imagine he would be up for that.
He was pretty, oh my God, I mean, look at him there. He's nothing but lips. He's a, like, he's a cherry-lipped, like, he's an unusual man, but he's undeniably sexy. I think it's power, isn't it?
Of course it is.
I actually don't like, I always, as a younger man, backed myself in the sweet world of erotica. But I think with Erling Haaland, I think I might come out of that encounter feeling
oh, you're diminished. In it together, are you?
Yeah, there's no point. What are we going to do? It's not a competition.
No.
It's a love affair. And I feel like that after being with Erling, unless he's like extraordinarily tender, I think you might come out of that feeling like a sort of a baby bird who's fallen down an escalator.
Yeah. I also think the language would be, you know, wouldn't be as floral as yours.
No way.
You know,
I think he's pretty abrupt.
I reckon so.
Like the sort of the Nordic people, they are, other than ABBA, the Nordic people are quite abrupt with language. And even ABBA.
Yeah,
they're God, they're good, aren't they?
Did you just, no, they are.
It's an unusual thing. English people wouldn't say it.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I agree.
They don't talk normally, do they?
They weren't the exact lyrics, were they? But
Napoleon did surrender. I think the lyrics.
Excellent, great.
Yeah.
I forgot you're actually quite into ABBA at the moment.
I can't stop thinking about ABBA. I'd like to do an ABBA-related cultural event every couple of days.
No, I know.
Really, I go see Mamma Mia, I watch the film Mamma Mia, I go and see an ABBA tribute band, ABBA Revival, when I saw them the other day.
I think this is all inspired by your infatuation with Haaland at the moment.
Those Northern European people, those people where it's perpetual night yet perpetual day.
Yes.
Where they apparently yearn for the safety of a Volvo and the hot, hot heat of the sauna. And that's how they say it as well, Gal.
Nice.
Sauna. That's what they would say. That's what Erling Haaland would say. He'd sit there and he'd let his towel come undone and he's like lob his cock over your leg.
He would.
Sort of lob it there.
Yeah.
Like that. And the helmet, as we know, is sort of unusually large.
Yes.
got such a lot of weight behind, like a swing ball.
That's right.
Like a thud down between your thighs, the tip of it. You wouldn't say anything. Of course, you wouldn't embarrass Erling.
No.
You might just attempt to brush it.
It'd be hard to remove it, I imagine.
I think you would strain. Your neck muscles would bulge as you tried to lift Erling. Yeah. And that's why I'm so surprised that Pep Guardiola was so confrontational, couldn't wait to get to the dressing room before admonishing Erling Haaland. I think it scored at
before
least
what?
One.
Oh. Admonishing
him off, like, and he'd like and he'd at least add one goal, and he might have even have had two goals.
Mm.
And like, what possibly could Guardiola be complaining
about? Something
about?
Was he?
You need that type of manager. I mean, look at the amount. If footballers are going to be as powerful as a country now because of, you know, what they earn, and you know that I think that the regulation should come around ownership models. I think they should be renationalised and distributed among the community. And I think we're at that kind of tipping point where something as extraordinary as that, with all of its ramifications, with all of its indications for global finance, is exactly the sort of radical idea we need to be considering to galvanise communities, to recognise that communities should own their assets. That if you have something naturally totemic like a football club that can bring people together, that can provide a focal point for a community, you have to make radical moves. And all of the problems you would discover when you said, we are taking back this football club, when, like, hold on a minute, but FSG own it, or bloody Saudi Arabia own it, or whatever. All of the problems you'd encounter would be so revealing about our economic and social models, and how private interests have usurped public good to such a degree that we can't even do anything we want to do anymore. And isn't it the point of politics to present people with alternatives and ideas that are radical and mean something and bring people together and make life fun and make life worth living? Because football does that, sport does it more broadly, but in particular for us, a lot. Like, football makes life beautiful, and now it's becoming plain that it's just a commodity. It's just a commodity to them.
Yeah,
you know, and I think we should do something radical. Yeah. Like Rioni.
I heard Rio. I was watching the new TNT spots, which is
you're going to call it that.
BT,
you're
going to
call Twitter
rebranded.
X, and then you're going to call.
I'll try.
BT TNT.
TNT, Rio Ferdinand was on there talking about the, and he was asked about the Saudi stuff, and obviously the host kind of wanted him to go, yeah, you know, it's not great that everyone's moving to Saudi Arabia. But actually what he said was, I would have done the same thing towards the end of my career. And then what he said was, which I thought was an interesting take, he said, no one says anything about America whatsoever. He goes, when Messi goes over to America, the kind of deal that Messi's had done, no one says a thing. It's celebrated everywhere. Isn't this an amazing thing that's happening?
It's racism.
And he says, but and look what's happening in Saudi Arabia. He said, it's so different, the response. And I was like, yeah, I think that's a fair point. If what you're saying is, it's about the politics, you know, that's the reason why we're coming down hard on the Saudi Arabia stuff. It's like, well, hang on, where's our analysis of American policy, you know?
You can't send your footballers off to a warmongering nation that requires a constant warfare in order to prop up its model that charges its citizenry through taxation without proper or due consent. Hey, Lionel Messi! Yeah, you're right. It's sort of like it's xenophobia. In his book, Orientalism, Edward Said posits that we don't even have the ability to conceive of how the what we call the East and the Middle East regard us, that they have their own trajectory and their own models, like in the case of China, Japan and all that, Buddhism and like the Islam and pre-Islamic religions of like the, you know, the Ottoman Empire and all that, the stuff that's regionalized around there. We can't conceptualize it, and we try to impose a different model on there. And yeah, I must say that my own feelings about it is like, you can't go over there. They don't understand football like we. It's got a lot of they in it, and a lot of unconscious sort of othering. But I suppose the part of it that's legitimate is the part of the analysis that I would apply to the Premier League and, you know, ownership models that are external, simply because it should be about the communities they come from. Like, when you hear about Celtic winning the European Cup and like everyone in the team lived in about, like, honestly, I think it was 3 miles.
Wow.
And like Jock Steen was sort of from around. It was like it was sort of like the Beatles or something.
Yeah.
It's like it's the spirit of that land has come in a human form and is demonstrating the power and love of the community. And that idea, it's you that said it, is so powerful that it can sustain layer after layer of commerce and commodification and abuse, like some sort of holy whore that can maintain her virginal quality in spite of all of the prostitution. It's sort of miraculous, really.
It is.
But like, what I feel like is that I have to acknowledge that my feeling that they can just take Paqueta to City is fundamentally no different than taking Bowen from Hull or whoever we're going to scoop up with our whatever additional revenue we have for our sort of our minor, let's face it, European tribe. Did you see, can we have a look at the hopometer? Because I felt pessimism in my own analysis there. Like they did this thing where they, The Athletic, which is a great sports publication, you have to say, where they asked each Premier League club how optimistic they felt about the forthcoming season.
The fans.
It's almost alphabetical at the top, actually. Or is it alphabetical? Oh no, it is alphabetical. But also it stays with the alphabet.
Yeah, for quite a while.
People just like the alphabet. Like Aston Villa are the most optimistic. Then Bournemouth. Now Arsenal should be obviously more optimistic. But Villa, Bournemouth and Brighton, they're the most optimistic. I suppose what that shows you, and look, the point we were going to make is that West Ham are the least optimistic. They like feel totally, West Ham fans feel totally negative about the forthcoming season, along with Sheffield United, who probably presume they're going down, along with Everton, who probably still concerned that they've not addressed the problems of last year. I'm surprised that, well, Palace actually is considerably higher. I mean, we are less than half. As like, if that's what the league table looks like at the end of the season, we're in a lot of trouble. West Ham are going down hard. But it shows you, what I thought was interesting about this is that hope is relative.
Yes.
And what I think it is West Ham ended the season on that triumph in Europe, then sold Declan Rice, then did not buy, not perceived to have bought well or quickly enough. Mm. So there's a sort of gulf in expectation. Whereas Villa were in the ascent, weren't they, towards the end of the season.
Yep.
And even like having lost 5-1 to Newcastle in the opening game, I bet they still feel pretty optimistic.
I think so. I mean, they've spent a lot of money on new players.
They've got this really good Villa.
There's Pau Torres and then the Diaby, who I think scored the solitary goal the other day. But yeah, he's very highly rated. But yeah, I think they're, you know, and obviously they've got a great manager. You know, he came in and did a fantastic job.
It's weird when that happens, because Emery at Sevilla, let's just say, it was such a sort of a continual conduit of success. Mm. Did he go to Arsenal at the wrong time then?
Did he come from PSG and then went to Arsenal after that?
Yeah,
and
that's
obviously, the PSG effect was like, you know, unless you win the Champions League, then you're considered a failure at PSG.
Everything is relative, isn't it? It's like, you know, because like it's the order in which events occur. Yeah. We're such narrativizing animals. Mm. It's like, oh, he did that at PSG. I shit at Arsenal. He goes back to Sevilla. He's good again now. It's almost like people are primed. We are primed for either disappointment or the relief from disappointment. It almost seems like.
Yeah, I get it with West Ham. You know, I think in a certain way, I don't know. I know obviously the fans didn't win that European trophy, but it's, I think when you do put a lot of, I mean, even when we watched it, you know, all together in the barn, you like put so much of yourself and so much energy into it and so much backing for your club and so much backing of your players that then when they achieve what they achieved and then it feels like the heart of the club has kind of been ripped out of it and not sufficiently replaced. I can see why the fans are affected by that, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Something symbolic has been sacrificed and it seems like a terminus. But it also, I think it's quite rational in some regards because it has been decline since the season prior to last.
Sure.
And now it feels like that the anomaly is the victory in Europe and decline is the trend. I'm very excited about this because Tottenham Hotspur have appointed in Ange Postecoglou an Australian. There's no other way of describing it. And we've not had... Have we had Australian managers before? Carl and them Carrills, have they ever been head coaches or anything? Like we've certainly not had anyone this Australian.
No.
Like, what I like about Australian people generally is their sort of informality and ease. And it seems that Ange... Is it Ange Postecoglou?
Am I saying
it right? Yeah. He's like, seems like to exemplify the things that I like about Australia. Our friend David Squires, who's the cartoonist at The Guardian, who does a brilliant cartoon, says that Postecoglou come into prominence in this way seems like there's like a band you've been following for ages and never thought would make it, and suddenly everyone's talking about him. Just says it seems so weird because this is a guy that he's seen following like local teams in like across Australia. Mm. Let's have a look at him overusing the word mate in a way that you is really heartening and what you want from an Australian.
Would you be looking for a like-for-like replacement for Harry?
I don't think there's a like-for-like replacement for Harry, mate.
We've been planning for this for a while. You know, this was going to happen. This doesn't change things dramatically from my perspective anyway.
Have you given Premier League a list?
I don't think it works that way, mate. It's not, you know, it's not my wife handing me a shopping list to go down and get some milk and bread for the kids.
What a weird domestic life. But also, like, that's sort of, when I think about it, part of what I think we talk about a lot is you want in public life and maybe even particularly in political life, that kind of discourse, someone that talks like, look, mate, it don't really work like that. Mm. There's no sort of, like, that is the opposite of Clinton Blair style slick fanfare. Mm. It's the emergence of a kind of colloquial vernacular that's immediately recognizable. I don't like Tottenham, but I actually hope he does well.
I do. I do worry that for him. I think.
What is that, mate?
Well, I mean, you know, Spurs were already in a very in dire straits.
Have they not bought no one good? Didn't they? In that midfielder good, that attacking midfielder. Well, didn't he do well the other night? I think against Brentford.
I think they have bought a few, but Richarlison's up there on his own with Son now, and they did not perform well last season, and it feels like now Kane's gone.
Richarlison's never alone. He's always got Neymar
He's
always got Neymar and himself on him back.
But in a sense, it doesn't matter how nice this guy is, to be honest, if he don't get results.
I think he got an edge as well. I don't think he's just nice. I hope people, you know, you never know a Spurs manager or anyone, I suppose, but is he going to be Martin Jol or is... That's it, really. Or is he going to be Harry Redknapp? Is he an Antipodean Redknapp?
Yeah,
that's what Redknapp has, is that?
Redknapp's got the same, innit? And with Hodgson, they've all got something underneath there as well, haven't they?
Yeah, a little
another
bit of an
level.
Edge. Yeah. I wonder what it is, because you've got to be able to do what Guardiola did, like a sexy little beige tic tac, and like go up to Haaland and sort of go, who the fuck has got the minerals to go and have a go at him after he scored a couple of goals? He said, like, that guy can do what he wants. Haaland is so good, I think, that you like that superior as City are, he could, if you put him in Man United, you think, well, Man United might win the league now. You think he's going to get 30 goals. Liverpool, they might win the league. They'll get 30 goals. He's like someone that you think would get 30 goals almost any conditions is sort of astonishing and unique when it appears that the tide of inflation is rising to make what would once have been regarded, because it was before, like you said, them 100 million players, it's like, oh, you're the equivalent of Trevor Francis or Ruud Gullit or whoever the most expensive player in the world is. Now it's just like they're the equivalent of people who I don't remember from the 70s, 80s and 90s, aren't they?
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. All right, we've got to do our predictions now to wrap up this Football Is Nice segment, this Football Is Nice show. I knew I'd done bad. I could tell it. Look at yours, almost all green and Lella. You are, in a way, the Man City of... how did that geezer do, though? That Mark Goldbridge, we didn't fuck him, we didn't bother him. Bad Graphics Jack's not going to do that. Bad Graphics Jack, that's, I'd say, your best graphic. I'm confused as why you've put a fade into the sort of reds and the yellows, why you've not done block colours. Can someone ask him why he did that and why he did that? He's done an incorrect result is red, a correct result is yellow, and an absolutely correct score is green. But he's used this sort of fade, and I don't know why he did it. No. What did he say?
It's artistic.
Make him say it out loud through a microphone.
It's artistic.
It's artistic, Gareth.
Yeah.
It's artistic.
I mean, who are we in a way to argue with that? You know, if
well,
Jack
I think
says
I'm
it's...
an established artist.
Artist,
and
that's
you
a
are
good point.
A sort of a credible producer and performer and writer of some renown and success.
Yeah.
But I do sort of think about it, I very much admire.
And this is it. This is it. This is the paradox of Jack.
The Jack paradox.
Yeah,
it's interesting. All right,
because there's on the surface of it, I think most of it, you're right, looks really bad. But it's one of those. It's the kind of bad that in like a few years' time, we're going to go.
It's
brilliant, that wasn't
it? Is he like the Picasso of graphics?
That's the thing.
Like, it's just we think it's bad, and like Jack's like he's Vincent van Gogh.
Yeah.
He's like, this world were never meant for one as beautiful as my graphics.
That's right.
Like, we don't understand how good he is.
No.
Because he's that good.
That's why he just gets on with it.
It's artistic.
Like, he's not affected by our criticism.
It's artistic what I've done. I don't care.
Yeah.
One day I will end my life and you fools will miss me. All right, let's do the predictions. Will you lot remember it so I don't have to write it down like a little nerf? All right, Spurs v Man U. We're only going to do 5 predictions this week, and are we including Hull's to make it more interesting for Gareth? That's just a decision someone made. Like, let's include Hull for Gareth.
Oh, West Ham are included.
Yeah, but they're in the top flight.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Yeah,
but I'm not arguing with it.
No, sure.
I'm just noticing it.
Yeah.
Noticing is not arguing, although sometimes for me it is. Like, yeah. If I notice something, I'll argue with it. And all I've really done is noticed it. Oh, I noticed this, so therefore I'm going to cause a fucking problem.
There you go.
That's actually my mentality.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
best not to be noticed.
Don't notice anything.
Spurs v Man U.
Oof.
Come on. All right. They said they sometimes go high scoring games. Mm. I think 2-1 Tottenham.
I got 2-1 United.
Man City v Newcastle. I'm so glad this game's happening. It's an evening game. Is it not going to be televised? Will it be televised? That it's on telly. Oh, cool. All right. City Newcastle. What's going to happen there, guys? They've got no De Bruyne and they don't have Paqueta yet. Newcastle on the march. It's one of like it's didn't they draw last season at a similar time? Like, and it's sort of like that's when people recognised like that Newcastle were a force to be reckoned with. I feel like I want Newcastle to win. Did you think I was going to say chicken tonight? I want all right, listen, I'm going to predict Newcastle 2-0.
Wow, an away win.
Yeah, fuck it. What have I got to lose?
I mean, Newcastle
dignity
are playing
and credibility as a predictor.
God, that is a tough one.
Can we beat Chelsea?
I'm going to say something crazy like 3-2 Man City.
Ain't crazy as 2-0 Newcastle. I'm crazy. Chelsea West Ham, I always predict that we're going to win, and I'm going to have to predict that we're going to win. Oh, gosh, shit. Fuck. Oh, God, no. Bollocks. 3-2. Blackburn v Hull, Gal. Why don't you feel the sweet sting of loyalty? The bitter taste of love under your tongue.
We had a great result at the weekend against Sheffield Wednesday, but...
Oh, did you win that?
Yeah, 4-2. Yeah, 2 fun hat-trick. It was great. I'm very pleased with it, but Sheffield Wednesday have just come up, and I don't think they're going to have a great season. Blackburn, I don't see us winning it. I'll say 1-0 Blackburn.
You are willing to predict that a whole loss, are you?
Yeah,
you
I mean, put
prediction before superstition.
I usually try to, yeah, just to temper my...
Oh, right, then it's like you win either way, in
exactly,
a sense.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to predict that Hull are going to win 1-0 away. Now, when it comes to that Werder Bremen-Bayern Munich tie, I've been thinking about this a lot. Mm. And I like to think that Werder Bremen are going to win 2-1.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't want Harry Kane to win his... I don't want Harry Kane to suffer. That's out of order. But I just think that things might be... all like, he might become a sort of a big, long Frank Spencer of Bavaria.
Right. You don't want that to happen?
I do think it will. Like a sort of a cack-handed sort of sod. Like a big grasshopper legged loon.
I said Bayern 2-0.
There you go. Those are our predictions. Now we have to stop doing that because of other jobs. That's all the time we got. That's all the time we got today. Football is Nice. We'll be back next week. And of course, you can listen to the whole conversation on the Football is Nice podcast. Football is Nice.